This is one of those messages, and so I'll just continue on this once I have something that I'm usually on it for several weeks. But in many areas of the church and messages and what we do at church and things we do, there are times when you're trying to give someone something. You're trying to give them a meal, trying to give them a fish. You can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or you can teach him to fish and feed him for a lifetime. And I was thinking this message is one of those, I want to impart something that will feed you for a life, like teaches you so you can live for a lifetime. And I think ministry, all of ministry should go that direction, that we need to really teach things that are the very source and core of life, so that there's life in every person, there's life in every household, that we're not dependent on things. And one of the most elemental things, or a very crucial, important thing, is that we have oil. And it's a shame Katie's not here, but I'll refer to it again, and you can tell her I owe her a dollar, she's part of the message. But Katie Forbes, Robbie's wife, gave me a word. And some of the most precious, powerful words that I've gotten are some of the simplest things. And we were back in the tent, in the days of the tent, the 11 years we were out there. And she comes and gives me a word sometime in the context of that. And she said, "The Lord says to you, you are like the Tin Man from the Wizard of Oz. Your cry continually needs to be for oil." You know, oil. You go, I see here the Tin Man. Oil, oil. Like, what's he saying? Oil, you know. And so your cry needs to continually be for oil. If your mouth is oiled, then your lips cannot rust shut. Cry out for oil, and may your mouth be anointed. That's a good word. Like, so I found it, I rediscovered that word. It was in one of my prayer journals from the times, the season in church, or in the tent. And so I found, I'm like, oh yes, this was so good. And so I rewrote it in my current journal, and I began to physically, any conscious time, start to cry out again for oil. Now, you'll find this term in different places in the scripture, in the Psalms, that about crying out. It's in different contexts, but this crying out. And there are different ways that we appeal to the Lord and we approach the Lord. And Natalie, where are you at? That was so... I know I saw you. There you are, hiding behind me. When she said there was an attraction, having oil, truly having this Holy Spirit oil in your life is the attraction, and we need to have that oil. We need to have it to function. I like oil. I like to, once I understood the difference between healthy oils and unhealthy oils, even in my eating, I try to take in a lot of, I'm never afraid of good butter or good oils. Like I use them because my body needs those, like they're good. And how much more in our spiritual life we need oil. And in my toolbox, I always carry a small little, you know, spray bottle of WD-40, because as I'm doing things, I love for things to work right. I hate when they're stuck and they're squeaking and they're whatever. So that's just always with me. Like, I'm always spraying things. I hear something squeak, you know, spray it. Keep it lubricated. Lubrication is great. We keep the oil in our cars changed. Why? So the engine lasts longer. Now we have synthetic oils, it's better yet. So my vehicles get over 100,000 miles, and you start using, you know, all synthetic oil, even if it didn't call for that. Why? Because it makes things work so much better. We spiritually, we need oil. And when you try to walk out this Christian life without oil, well, it explains some things. And it becomes laborsome, burdensome, even things that are not technically broke, if they're not oiled and they're not moving freely, and we need oil in our relationships even, don't we? Like, you want oil in your marriage. Because living in that close of a proximity with another person, any person, even the perfect person, somebody in the relationship is not perfect, you need oil. Because it's just natural. Things that aren't oil, there's friction. They can be two perfectly made parts, and they need to be able to flow together, slide together. And so we need that. We need that, and we need it in our Christian walk. And when there's a passage in Matthew 25 that talks about the 10 virgins, and they're waiting for the bridegroom, which was the custom. And they go out to, Katrina, so nice to have you here. This is so neat to have a lot of you visiting. I was watching little Declan in the, pretty soon he's doing this. No one was watching when I was at home in total private. And the kids, they walk up like Josiah, he's always, and they do this thing with their hands. What's that called? Like, it's called something. Yeah. I know. If you're over 50, don't try that. And we're in this, and Declan's there. He's so adorable anyways, and he's standing there doing this and dancing around, goes and gets Kleenex, comes back, and he's proud of himself, and he starts this thing. Yeah. Yeah, I just love it having you around, though. It's nice. We need this, and we get busy. We're working hard, and we're in these seasons where we're not getting oil. And this illustration of the 10 virgins that go, and they're waiting on the bridegroom, and they all have oil in their lamps, but the wise virgins, what? They had gas cans with them. They had extra stuff. They had extra oil containers. It's like, oh, no, you don't need that. You do if you wait long enough. You need some spare batteries. You need more stuff. And life will, there are times when you've got time to fill up. It's that thing with the gas tank, the gas gauge. Like, a wise person keeps their tank full. When Kenny and Cheryl were young and they were living down in Somerville, I'll owe you two a dollar each after this. You all know where I'm going to go. There, if you got in one of their cars, there was almost like they thought it was a waste of gas to have more than a quarter of a tank in the car, And we'd get like, good grief, what do you have? No gas, It's like, well, what do we need that for? I mean, Karen and Chris's house was not measured in miles. It was measured in yards away, like maybe 300 yards away was Karen and Chris's. So anything they needed, they could just, they were close. They didn't have to worry about it. Having extra gas was not a value to them. And why put $10 in that when I can keep my pocket? It was just, something we tease them about. I just know they don't live like that anymore. When we live our spiritual life that way, very dangerous. And we get too busy to stop at the gas station. There was a day when there weren't very many gas stations that were open 24 hours a day. Some of you remember those days. So you didn't play the game because, weekends, maybe there's a gas. I mean, I remember the day. The only time there were, stations that were open all the time was on the turnpike or highway. I know, you can't even imagine. Some of you are like, really? Wow, it's weird. And now it's getting really pathetic. We don't even worry about the supplies in our house because if you run out of something, you just jump on your phone and, order it on Amazon and it's there before you get to the front door. How do they do that? So we don't make preparation, and it flows out. It shows up in our spiritual, in our walks. And we're depending on other people to give our oils. And in that story in Matthew 25, they're like, hey, give us some oil. We're out. And the answer sounds kind of cruel, like, I can't give you oil. I have extra oil for myself. You're going to have to go buy your own oil. And they leave, and they miss the main event. Yeah? I don't want to be in that situation. We cannot afford to go without this And so there's another passage that's instruction about it. Here's the question. How do we get oil? How do we get that? How do we get this, that substance, that anointing, that flow in our lives that will give you not just what you need for the moment, but that begins to fill up your containers? The extra propane tank, we talked about this, like in this season and time, I would have extra stuff sitting around. I just would, just saying. Just never hurts. Don't go buy things you'll never use, but to have things that you can, you know, an extra one of this and an extra, that'd be a good idea. And so this thing with this oil and this anointing, we're very guilty because of the busyness. Like, Lord Jesus, thank you. We just came out of, like, I've been busier and more driven in this last season of time, this summer and fall, than like, wow. I finally just like, I'm settling down a little bit. And it really takes a toll on your spiritual life. You can get away with this for a while. Pretty soon, you're squeaking. You got bearings that are hot. you're not doing well because you're out of stuff. And we've got to get back to prioritizing this and bringing that. And for the rest of this message, you'll have to come back for the next week or two. Turn with me to Zechariah 4. There's Zephaniah, Zechariah. They're towards the end of the Old Testament, if you have your Bible. I just want to introduce this. It's too good to not say anything about it, but I can't go too long. And I recently rediscovered this. I was reading a book by Bob Sorge called Secrets of the Secret Place. And it's really started, it was ministering to me. A lot of the different chapters, very easy to read. I like easy, I like simple. And he refers to this chapter in talking about having a constant supply. And y'all know what that dry feeling's like, don't you? That thing where you don't have anything flowing in you. You're kind of dry. You're relying on people around you. You're relying on getting to church because that's okay. But you can't live like that. We can't be the body and we can't be functioning like that we need to if that's how we live our lives. And so how do we get oil? And what is there's a picture here. I'm going to introduce the picture and then I'll just continue to talk about this in the next few weeks. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me. And it's like I stopped right there in just my meditation and listening to, we need awakened. And you can fall asleep any time, so it's not like you've got to have a restart and re-sign up and resubmit your, 1 year subscription fee to be a believer. I'm making a joke. But this awakening where you become awake again to what, so that you see the Lord in things and so that you're hearing, your ears are awake, you're awakened. And the angel comes and awakens Zechariah. Verse 2, and he said to me, what do you see? And he's giving him a vision. He's seeing a vision. He says, what do you see? And Zechariah starts saying, I'm looking and there is a lampstand. So what's a lampstand? Well, it's easier to attribute this to our electrical lamps. This one wasn't electrical. It was oil. But we'll go electrical because we have that hanging in our houses all over the place. It's the chandelier. It's the whatever. You're looking at an upside-down lampstand. It's a light holder. But there's wiring. There's a supply. You have to have wiring for this. It has to be supplied. There's the main things. If you have a, let's use the example of a floor lamp. And the lamp is just, it's a basic thing that does what? It holds, they're usually more contained. It holds the two light bulbs. And somewhere there's wire that connects to it and plugs into the wall and comes up and the light bulbs are lit by the electric. The lampstand does what, though? Basic function is to hold the light bulbs. It doesn't even have the ability to light the lamps or light the light bulbs. It holds them. Holds them up here so they can shed their light. So you have the picture, this imagery of a lampstand, only this is for oil, so it looks a little different. It's a lampstand. It holds the lamps or candle holder. And in this case, there are seven, I believe. And then there are seven pipes, conduit, electrical wire. Use whatever symbolism you need, but the lamp, they're connected to a source. Like, it's interesting that in this vision for Zechariah is given the detail of these are connected to a source of supply, because that's very important. So there's the thing that holds the lampstand, that holds the lights, and then there's a connection. There's tubes that actually go, and then there's a reservoir above the lampstand. Says there's gold, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And now, oddly enough, there's this picture of this. It probably looks like some wild, outrageous coffee machine with bells and whistles, and you know, or whatever, you know, something with tubes and brass and copper and a container, and you're like, wow, what's that? So there's a bowl, a container that's above it, because gravity is the force. And I began to talk about cry, our cry. Your cry is what creates spiritually in the super, causes the gravity. It draws things. I've been in conversations when someone is hungry or there's a need and they're in the conversation, and I'm not conscious of this, but I'm aware that it's happening. And people are pulling something out of me that I did not show up at the meeting with. I wasn't aware of. I didn't come and like, hey, when I meet with so-and-so, I'm going to share such and such with them. I'm going to be profound. I'm going to have a word. Sometimes you have direction, but often what surprises me, I've had it up front here. I've gone to the prison to share a word, and I'm aware that as I'm sharing a word at a prison or county jail or whatever, that something's coming out of me that I did not prepare for. And I had this revelation that someone there, sitting there, was hungry. There was a crying out, there was some need there, and it was pulling out something from me. And our cry is that. It creates, like this oil can only flow from gravity. There aren't pumps and expansion tanks and those kind of things like we have today in our modern technology, but gravity was always there, and what creates gravity spiritually is your cry or your hunger. It will draw things to you. And the picture at the end of this, if we're anointed and filled with this oil and we have this flowing, we're vessels with oil, we're lampstands with lights on them that are lit and supplied by that oil, there is an attraction. I want to be that person that attracts, has an attraction. You are not attractive if you're a man on a rant. There's not an attraction if you're a person that's angry with things. There's not an attraction if you're a law smasher and you're absolutely demanding. The people follow the law, follow the rules like that. There's nothing attractive about that. You're like, whoa, dude, like, whew, too much. But there is a godly attraction. There's to be a godly attraction when that flows in us and people see that. I want to be that person. I want to be that attraction. And when this is working and this is happening, that's there. But then the two olive trees, and again, I'm just going to introduce this, then we'll talk more about it. And Zechariah, three different times in this chapter, says, what are these? He sees all the lampstand, he sees the oil, he sees the bowl, he sees the tubes, but he keeps, every time he talks about the olive trees, he goes, what are these? What are the two olive trees? One on the right, one on the left. And the two olive trees are situated on the side of the lampstand where their branches go, and that supplies the oil in this bowl that everything is connected to. And in the last verse of Zechariah, let me read it. So he said, these are the two, like he's asked again, what are these? And he says, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. And I'll subject to you, this is the interpretation Bob Sorge laid out in this book. There are other interpretations of this passage. I've heard some of them. I've been like, that's above my pay grade to even understand, let alone get, you know, like, wow. But I love this whole interpretation. I am the lamp. You and I are the lamp. In Revelations, Jesus is standing in the midst of the lampstands, which represent the churches. So this is symbology. This is symbolic in Scripture, that symbology. Just created another word. Thank you, Kathy, for acknowledging that. The pastor, he's weird. So Jesus shows up in the lampstands. Like, what are you doing in the midst of the lampstands? But the lampstands, they represent the churches, and Jesus is in the midst of the church. I like that picture. That's a great picture. You are the lampstand. This is your job. This is what you do. You hold the light. You don't want to be looking silly, standing in the corner with nothing in your hands. You want to have a lamp in there, a light in there, and it needs to be connected so that there is light. And above you is the bowl, a golden bowl. Can't you just picture this with tubes and it's connected? And there's, you know, it's gravity feed, but enough gravity, that's actually pressure. It will, and these lamps burn brightly, and there are seven of them. They burn brightly. But what supplies the bowl where it is these two anointed ones. And I love this interpretation, the Spirit and the Word, because that is who is beside the Lord, and that's what the description is, beside the Lord, to the left and to the right, the Spirit and the Word. And we have this triune God. What a mystery, what a beauty. And you can fellowship with the three persons of the Godhead and not sin. And it's awesome. Father, I fellowship with the Father. I fellowship with the Son, and I fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. They complement each other, and I need that. And this oil comes from the Spirit and the Word. So this is situated beside us. This is your supply. And getting oil is about tapping in to that. That's how you get oil. You can't run down to the gas station and get some kerosene. Like, how do I get oil? How do I get anointed like that? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. How do I get anointed for life? How do I overcome this depression? How do I get in a whole different place? How do I have hope in the midst of adversity? How do I endure? How do I get through this situation? And the promise is that we will have we'll have oil. We'll have an anointing. And there's times when I'm in the flow, and there's times when I'm not in the flow. I hate the not in the flow feeling. Hate it. Hate it when someone draws like, hey, what's going on? What's the word for the day? And I'm dry. I'm like, duh. I need to start this day over again. Because I want to be a person that's heart is prepared, whether I have a message on Sunday morning or whether it's Monday morning and I'm just doing life. And that's the hope and the promise for all of us. And you must get oil. Don't be a foolish virgin. Don't show up in life without oil. I do not recommend it. You'll be tapping into all the other things that do damage and do harm. And so this mixture of the Spirit and the Word and fellowshipping and putting yourself in a place where you're receiving, and you're receiving from that. Bob Sorge writes this out. I cannot even touch how good and how descriptive this is, so I'm just going to read and I'll close. Just the end of this particular chapter. See yourself as the lampstand, as a devout believer who is called to provide compassionate leadership in the building of the kingdom of God. And this is not the description of a pastor or a leader in ministry necessarily. This is for all of us. Because you're all leaders, you're all representatives, you're all in the ministry, you're all called, you're all chosen. You don't get out of this. If you don't have that mentality, you need a re-up. You need a new download. You need to hit the refresh button on your assignment and what you are and who you are. As you come aside into the secret place, you open the channels of your heart and allow the oil of divine life to flow into every chamber of your heart. The secret place is where your lamps are trimmed, where your zeal for the face of Christ is rekindled and renewed until you burn with seven bright, fiery, torch-like flames. I hope I'm going to entice your appetite so you stop saying, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. Get up earlier. We make time for everything else. Find that place. There is a place. Find it. You don't have to wash your clothes out by hand. You get to throw them in the washing machine. So they didn't have more time than we've got time. It's about picking it. It's about choosing priorities, and you must get oil. You cannot afford to not have oil. It's the oil that protects you. It's the oil that makes your life slide and glide and run freely and live longer. The secret place is where your lamps are trimmed, where your zeal for the face of Christ is rekindled. We need awakened. It's okay. Just start crying out for that. Cry for oil. Cry for awakening. I've been praying that over the church lately. We need to awaken. They who come into contact with you are impacted with your passion for Jesus and your selfless love for people. I want to be this person. When someone meets me, I want them to go, wow, what is it about you? There's an attraction. They don't even necessarily know it. You'll see it on television that David Ketterer, is that the correct name, that wrote the song that I still need to learn, Spirit Lead Me? And he was on America's Got Talent. Was that the right show? Am I right? And Simon, what's Simon's last name? Simon Cowell comes out of his seat attracted to what David Ketterer has. At the time of the event, no one knows he's a worship leader. And on one of the debuts, we were watching this stuff on YouTube because we weren't watching the program. And they're sitting there going, Simon, like he's notoriously the critic. He comes out of his chair. He wants to connect with this guy. What is it about you? There's something. We get to observe. You're observing that at this attraction. This young worship leader that was a nobody in a flannel shirt starts singing, and Simon's like, whoa, you've got something. What do you have? I want your number. I want to connect with you. I want to connect with your vision for life. Him and his wife have how many, six, five adopted children or something like that. He was moved. We're trying to worry about how we're going to reach the world. Just get oil. Don't work harder. Get oil. That applies to all of your life. You're like, I'm in debt. I've got to work harder. Trust me, I'm there. I go there. I can go there. Got to strive more. I've got stuff I've got to get done. I've got to organize and get more whatever. Like, if you need to get your act together, that's good. Do it. But understand, it's about getting more oil. It's not about working harder. Because you can lose it as fast as you get it. So what you get, it needs to be protected by heaven. You can amass a fortune and watch it burn. You can have all of life and lose your soul. What's that? They realize you've been seared clean from self-serving ambitions and personal agendas. Your fire is hot, your flame is pure, your heart is enthralled with the beauty of your King. Your interests and affections are for nothing other than your heavenly bridegroom. When you sound a call to build, the saints rally round you enthusiastically because you know you're functioning from the creative womb of the morning. Psalms 110 talks about, describes the secret place as the womb of the morning. When you're received divinely, when you receive divinely downloaded mandates and insights, your productivity becomes disproportionate to your resources. In other words, you're producing more than your resources. That's what the supernatural thing looks like. Like, how are you putting all this out? Because your resources are limited. I want to tap into this. What I mean is the work accelerates forward at a pace that is faster than seems possible with the limited resources of your disposal. As Jamie and Ruth launched out with this, the Atwell Revival Center and moving to Hartville, anybody with any wisdom looking at their situation would be like, I suppose if I was a better pastor, I'd been like, oh, you guys are getting in over your head. Like, don't, how are you going to, you know, how are you going to get through this? But I knew something, a greater principle, that if this was, and I was watching the Lord lead them, that I knew. And I knew if the Lord was leading them, that he was going to supply. And I just kept encouraging, just standing down here on Bethesda Road, saying, just keep going. Just keep facing. Just trust. Do it right and trust the Lord's going to provide. He'll provide the lamb. I was probably more shocked than them. And they've had supernatural provision. I just sit back and go, wow, this is so cool. If they'd have sat and wait on it, trust me, it wouldn't have showed up. So they go forward, they move forward, they pray, they commit their lives to the Lord every day. Sometimes they're moaning and groaning that comes from their, you know, household and Dalton. What's your address? Not Dalton, but you're out there. It's your address, your, no, yours where you live. Pardon? Apple Creek, that's right. Yeah. No, when you're up there, you're in the spirit, but when you're at home, it's what counts when you're sitting in the kitchen. It's the groanings of despair, you know, and looking at each other, husband and wife looking at each other going, oh, wow, this don't look good. Looking at the income from, you know, last Saturday night's meeting. Oh, geez. Is it even right for us to keep facing life, you know? Like, we should hold up a little white flag and go, I surrender, I quit, you know, don't shoot me. But because you have to come to this resolve where you move forward and stuff starts coming to you supernaturally. We need to hear this. We need the limited and unlimited supply because you're not just working by the might and power of the human resources. You're operating in a synergy and flow of the Holy Spirit. Momentum as God himself works with you and in you, you found the God zone. And later in this chapter, Zerubbabel gets a word, not by might. Not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And you're going to, Zerubbabel started this project, and Zerubbabel is going to finish this project. And when they put the final capstone on, there are going to be shouts of grace, grace to it. Grace did it. The Lord's enablement did it. That's what did it. That's the declaration. Grace built my life. Grace moved a mountain. This, we've been meditating all week on this thing about the mustard seed. Everywhere that seed lands, it starts growing and it moves rocks. And you go, oh, that's what that scripture means. That kind of faith. Faith is like that. If you have faith, it moves rocks. It's just a plant that comes out of the sidewalk and breaks. It just moves things. and gets big enough for trees, the birds to build their nest in. So, like, wow. That's what faith is. Faith isn't fragile. Faith isn't this fragile little thing. Faith is tough. Faith is something that when stuff comes, it's still there. It's not fragile. It doesn't break like glass. Once you have faith operating, you have this. Once you tap into grace. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask for today, I ask for hunger and desire for oil. Show us ways to get oil. We need to fellowship with your word. We need to tap into your flow with your Holy Spirit. And we need oil. Father, give us downloads about how to get oil in our lamps and how to get oil in our containers, how to get excess oil, anointing from you, so that we're not just eking by with our gas tanks on E, and on a good day they're on a quarter of a tank, but that there's an abundance that we can draw from, that we have oil. We have oil in our relationships. We have oil in our ministry, that we are impacted by this oil, and we are attractive to the world. You called us to this. You called us to be attractive. They aren't attracted by argument. They aren't attracted by people on rants. They're attracted by people that have oil, people that have life, people that have answers, people that have connection. And Father, we want to be people that have connections. We just thank you. I just declare that every person here is a lampstand, and every person here carries the light. But Lord Jesus, we need you. We can be all pretty and glorified and intricate, but we need the supply. We can't make it. We can't make the supply. We need the energy to flow through us to turn on the lights. And that's just how it is. So we cry out to you. We create gravity with our hungering after you and our desire that you come and that you heal and that you restore and you strengthen us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.